calling the meeting to order at 7 o'clock. I'll be doing the invocation and...
Hey, Mike.
Steve, the pledge of allegiance.
And...
What?
Did you make Steve will be doing the flag salute.
What do I want?
Mine's on the left. You got my book.
Dear Lord, be with us tonight as we make the decisions that affect the children's lives, and be with the schools as they prepare for the end of the school year, and be with all of us as we make the in Jesus' name, amen.
Please join me in the salute to our flag. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm sorry, Cammie, I got you all fouled.
Yes, I had to blame somebody else, and it was Steve Cox. The roll call, please.
Mrs. Fuller?
Here.
Mr. Fuller? Mrs. Spence?
Here.
Mr. Cox?
Here.
Ms. Schumacher?
Here.
Ms. Neely?
Here.
Mrs. Espasillo?
Here. We're moving to the portion of our agenda for a special presentation. We would like to thank Christina Noonan for all of the work she's done this year. She's always become very prepared, and we appreciated her enthusiasm that she brought and everything that she had to say about the school encouraged us and made us feel like we were a part of what was going on there. And you graciously invited us to everything, and we appreciate you keeping us informed. We would like, why don't you step over here, and we will
present you an honor.
Yes.
That's right.
So this is great.
You're a student board member.
Her plaque reads, "An appreciation of your year's dedicated service as West Covina Unified School District student board member."
Thank you. I just want to say that I'm very thankful to have been a student board member on the school board. And not much students can say that, hey, I was a rep for the school board, and not much students can say that they know how government at this level works. And just a little side note that I remember my first meeting, I was so nervous, so nervous, and I was like, oh my gosh. But then as the year went on, I learned that you guys are just normal people who really do care for the students, and that made me not as nervous as I was before. So thank you so much.
Alberto's not going to be here, is he?
No, he wasn't even. He had a project at school.
We have something for him. Before you leave, if we can give that to you so you can give to him. Thank you.
Since you were never really absent, I think only once, that did he ever have to step up? So we appreciate you always being here.
Yeah.
Once. Yes, once. I said except for once. So the is there... I'm not doing well at all tonight. Is there anything that the board would like to share this evening? Oh, there was no items in closed session. Thank you, Jessica. Is there anything anybody would like to report out this evening? We have one blue card. Wasn't that her report?
Okay, so this Wednesday, our cheer team is putting up a Spirit Spectacular, and this is when we invited all our fine art or performing art groups on campus to give a showcase. And also our drama is giving a production called The Foreigner. It's a comedy playing this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And our senior class won the Class of the Year award, so we're pretty proud about that. This Friday, we have our second annual Powerpuff game, It's a girls' football game, juniors versus seniors, so that should be exciting. And the football boys are the cheerleaders, so. June 6th is our senior baccalaureate, and June 11th is our graduation day. And that is it.
Where are you going to go on to?
I am going to UCLA.
Wow.
Good choice. Good choice. Doesn't she need, don't we have another recognition for that?
She got enough applause for that, I believe.
Okay, just checking.
He wanted to be one of the cheerleaders. Cheer you on as you, on your new quest at school. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thanks again. The we have one item from the floor. Kathleen Fredman. Yes.
Do I just stand here?
Come to the mic.
Right up to the podium.
I'm just here to bring to your attention about the reduction in hours with the media centers at the elementary schools. And my main concern is because of the reduction of hours, it gives us less time to spend with the students. And we're not able to do everything that we need to do. It's important that the kids have that time because it does improve their reading scores. We've seen that happen just in this past year. I'm concerned about the effect that it has on their reading progress, and they really do enjoy the exposure that they have to the library, and they're not looking forward to missing some of that time. I believe that reducing the time that I have to spend with the students will ultimately affect their enjoyment of reading. Because my first priority is to expose them to the books and the reading so that they can use that to further their education and whatnot in the future. At Merlinda, where I work, we have 637 students, which is approximately 100 to 200 more students than the other elementary schools, except for Vine. Vine is in the high 500s, I believe. And so by cutting my hours to four with having 200 more kids, I have to accommodate those 200 more kids on a less amount of time. Now, for 9 years, I've been in the position for 11 years. This is my 11th year. For the first 9 years, I was on a four-hour schedule. But the only reason I was able to maintain that was because we did not have sixth grade at the school. So now we do have three sixth grade classes. And also, I wasn't there just 4 hours. I was there 6 and 7 hours a day, putting in my own time. I was even there on Saturdays and Sundays working in order to make things, you know, run smoothly. I'm thinking that now because we have some stimulus money coming in, that maybe it would be taken into consideration that we could reinstate those hours so that we could fulfill our jobs. And according to President Obama's educational plans, the library is at the heart of learning. It really is the hub of the school. And the education portion of the money in the stimulus law, which President Obama signed, is intended to be used to keep schools from making cuts that they otherwise would be forced to impose because of shrinking budgets. And funding from the State Fiscal Stabilization Fund and Title I Part A of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act and the Educational Technology State Grant can be used to prevent cutbacks and prevent layoffs and modernize school libraries. And I think sometimes it's a good idea to keep to understand that education isn't exclusive to the classroom. And unfortunately, when schools need to make cuts, the libraries seem to be left wanting for some reason. I've had several teachers, students, parents at my school that have come to me and have expressed their concerns regarding the reduction of the hours in the library because their children really enjoy coming there. And I was hoping that this next year we were going to be able to provide time before and after school for library time for the kids, because I've had so many people ask about that. But with reduction in hours, of course, that wouldn't be capable of doing that. I'm really here to ask you to reconsider making the time reduction so that we can better serve the kids in the school. Thank you.
Thank you for your input. Mr. Dwight.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Cammie. I just wanted to speak as president of the union, the TAWC. I wanted to thank Jessica and Steve for coming out to our open house at Hollandcrest Middle School. It was always a pleasure. It was a good night had by all. We had a great turnout. It was fabulous. It was a really good night. Parents are very supportive of our programs here in West Covina. It's really nice to see that. I want to thank the board and the kind things that you said in the newspaper about no further cuts, Cammie, in the budgetary situation in West Covina. You said the right thing. We're a very conservative district. We have hung on to our money. We've been tight with our budgets. You've done a good job of implementing programs in a way that has saved money for the classrooms where we want the money to be spent on our students. I'm proud of that fact. And I also want to thank the board for tag-teaming me. I feel like I'm a wrestler. This is my sixth year as union president. And with you guys making the switch over to the fourth assistant superintendent that I've had to face in the last 6 years, I just want you to know how proud I am that you had such a fine adversary here, honest, with integrity, and just pounded the heck out of me for the last couple years. And I want you to know that, as I know, that we fight fair, we fight hard. And I want you to know that after Rob, I thought maybe you guys would lighten up on me a little bit. But no, Steve, Mike, you keep coming up with people that can keep coming at me hard and fast, and I appreciate that. And I support your ability to find people that really challenged me as a union president. Thank you. I would expect no less of you guys. I just don't expect much more. Okay, I mean, you got all four ropes covered now, and I'm on the mat, and, you know, bam, I feel like I'm getting hit really hard. So the next person, I hope you will be kind to me.
Trust me.
Kind.
The worst is yet to come.
I appreciate coming to you, Mr. Cox. I want to thank you for not only being kind enough to come to my meeting at Hollandcrest, but when I saw him at BJ's Brewery, and I was eating lunch with this fine, upstanding teacher, he came over to the table, he said, "Everything's great about this meal, except how can you sit at the same table with the union president and expect for me to say yes to go to your function," which we just had in the newspaper, Edgewood Middle School. Lisa Maggiore, I eat lunch with the right people, Steve. You know, I haven't been able to eat lunch with you lately, but I'm thinking in the near future, after I resign from the presidency of the union, that maybe we can stop burying the hatchet so deep, okay?
I'm feeling it.
Okay, anyway, I just want to thank you guys again for Cammie's kind thoughts in the newspaper, for our proactive ability to keep the money in the classroom where it belongs, and for you guys keeping up the intensity, because I see teachers working harder in the West Covina Unified School District than ever before, and I hope our scores reflect that, because I know how much that means to our kids. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to move on to the organizational part of... Oh, yes.
We'd love to hear from you. I am representing West Covina Council PTA, and a couple of things I would like to say. First and foremost, I would like to thank all of the administrators, starting with your assistant superintendent, the superintendent, the incoming Mike Seaman, and the three board members who attended our annual award ceremony for West Covina Council PTA on last Thursday. Also, they have been in attendance and very supportive at all of our PTA events this year, and we appreciate that. West Covina Council PTA represents approximately 4,000 parents in this community who have joined PTA. And we believe that we do outstanding things in West Covina for our children, their families, and our community at large. I would also like to say thank you to the superintendent and Ruben Frutos for attending Christy Brown's installation as First District President on last Wednesday. She will be president of approximately 100,000 members from Burbank to Pomona. And that really is outstanding because she will also be serving on the state PTA board. And that's something that we have only had one in West Covina do that, and that's Christy Brown, and I'm proud to call her my friend. She's going to do an outstanding job. And one of the awards that you got and you weren't there to receive is our PTA awarded you Leader of the Pack Award to our district, because I can tell you out of the 24 districts in First District, West Covina is the only one that did not have to make any cuts. And we were very proud of that. And we have been, you know, we've been telling that to other districts. They wonder, how did you guys open a school last year when other schools where we said our administrators and school board members, and I have to say all of the school board members have been very, very conservative in their finances, and so we were able to protect jobs for classified and teachers in our district, and that's why our council looked and awarded West Covina Leader of the Pack. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay, now we're moving on to the organizational part of our meeting. Mr. Fuller is hoping to be here, and he's requested to move number 8 to the end of the agenda. Is there any other changes that somebody, anybody would like to make?
Can we put number 8 on consent? With the provision of appointing Ellen Valentine as Assistant Superintendent of Education Services and Mike...
Seaman?
Okay. As Assistant Superintendent of Human Resources.
I don't see a problem with that.
So we're going to put it at the end of the agenda, but it's going to be on consent?
No, now it's on consent.
Can we put 6 on consent?
Can that be on consent? At the high school exit exam?
Yes.
Anybody have any questions?
I'll move that we approve the agenda as amended.
Okay. Yes. It was moved by Steve Cox and seconded by Jessica Shoemaker. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 4-0. George Fuller being absent. Number 14, Information Report, Federal Stimulus Funding and Appropriations. Mrs. Castillo?
Yes, I'd like to call in Mr. Frutos to give you an update on where we are. So bad.
Good evening. One of the most challenging areas of our new federal funding is to try to understand the intent both of the federal government and the state government as the funding makes its way to the local educational agencies. There is one paragraph that they provided us that seems to capture some of the intent of the funding, and it basically means that the funding is intended to backfill on a one-time basis cuts or reductions in funding provided to educational agencies in the current and budget years. What the federal government did is they appointed a particular formula called principal funding. And what that means for us in California, regardless of what it means in other states, is that the funding will come in principally the same way that the funding is allocated and reduced. For us in California, that means the revenue limit typically, and you've seen us present that to you and how it's been reduced over the last couple of budgeting cycles. For the state to benefit from the funding, they had to provide a variety of assurances as to how the funding would be allocated. And that's where the first challenge begins. The state federal assurance is that the state funding to the local educational agencies has to be preserved as of 2007-2008. As you probably saw in the news over the last couple of days, the state of California is now backfilling back to 2005 because they are claiming that some of the one-time money can be taken out of the formula, which is very interesting because the two amounts will not match. We provided the assurances like every educational agency, And if you remember, we did a presentation to you in March where we had a list of corrections or modifications to our budget that would allow us to maintain program with some of those changes for 08 and 09. The goals back then and continue to be to preserve, maintain, and this goes with maintenance of effort, which is one of the assurances mandated, to preserve class size reduction, averages, instructional support specialists, staffing at present levels, present programs, including the flex scheduling that has been introduced at the secondary level, reserves, our retirement trust, finish our projects, for example, some of the modernization painting that we've been doing, and maintaining a stable ending balance, which has been the budgeting goal for the last couple of years. Now, what happens with some of the challenges at the state level? If state funding freezes, as you know, we now are at the state level trying to borrow with, if you remember a few months ago when we did the update in December, what happened to our bond at the state level? Next to junk, and now they're having a hard time getting a guarantor. So if that happens, we will continue to maintain a strong cash position. If you remember in our budgeting reports, one of our principal goals has been to maintain a strong cash and balance position. By 2011, we want to review all the commitments and project reductions based on the state funding. Why? Because the funding, as you know, is a one-time event but has repercussions for 2 years until 2011. Due to uncertainty and under the direction of the superintendent, most of our projections now are based on short-term actual receipts. Why? Because for example, the county gives us parameters for our budget, but those parameters will come after we have to bring a board adopted budget. So they're useless. So what we've been doing is looking at short-term cash flow and things like that to give you budgetary reports, and it has been working. Now we're looking at a complete or holistic approach to goal setting that includes things like the new Head Start analysis, the self by staking the directive on that, supplementary hours, our general fund encroachment, which some of these funds will alleviate, and also some of the self funding that comes as part of the special ed component and also the Title I component. Now, we had two scenarios to present to you. Scenario one was if the propositions passed. They didn't. So scenario two. Scenario two is basically what are going to be our reductions as we prepare this budget for 09-10. We had already done this with you in March. Now it's fine-tuned a little bit more. And it is still, if we look at our revenue limit, a reduction of $2.1 million to our budget. Moving forward, what are some of our potential revenues from the federal stimulus ARA program? General fund, between $2 and $3 million. Title I, approximately $765,000. Special ed, approximately $900,000. Typically, that serves to backfill the contribution from the general fund. And not in the stimulus, but one other area with we secure some funding is a settlement of a lawsuit from Microsoft that will alleviate some of the needs for technology's cost. Now, these amounts will be verified. They're changing. 2 weeks ago, we had one estimate from the state. Now it appears to be changing, and because of the manipulations that they're doing to Prop 98 from 05, we might end up with a different amount. Now, what are some of our priority expenses? Obviously, program maintenance. We want to continue having good educational programs. Staff maintenance, if you remember, our modifications were typically few reductions, hours and things change. Legal challenges, we've had some, and the district has been able to survive them well. A new small school type of program that the superintendent will present to you during the year. Special ed encroachment, which has increased over the last couple of years. And technology improvements district-wide. One of the initiatives that we want to do is the implementation of additional educational software that Microsoft Grant qualifies for, and also some wireless systems for our school. So what happened? What are the main components of the funding? The first one is the Child Nutrition Equipment Program. That one is based on free and reduced. There is an amount of $100 million for program divided through the nation. The district is requesting, and through the consent agenda today, you approve that we apply for those grants. What we are going to be doing is applying for the grants for the replacement of cooking equipment and warming equipment in our cafeterias. The funding is to be determined, and it will be based on two aspects. One is free and reduced, and the number of applicants. The second one is Head Start and Early Start. And the SELPA locally has taken the role as the lead agency. They are looking at potential funding program implementation and including all the local districts in the SELPA. And again, funding to be determined on that one. Next is Title I. And Title I had very strict language. It basically said that it follows the guidelines of the grant that we get every year from the feds. If you remember, we qualify, and then they provide us that money. Because it's a state categorical allocation, there is no application process, but the funding needs to have any type of audit based on the way they give the funding. So it is still restricted funding in a categorical, even though it's one time. Then special ed is the next category. And in special ed, they did an interesting thing. What they did is that they wrote language that is designed to backfill the deficit of the special education funding. As you know, every year special education is one of the programs where the general fund has to contribute because the program is upside down. And it is coming in every district. So this funding, as a primary goal, is designed to backfill some of that funding. Finally, the large one. And the large one is the state federal stabilization fund, which is the one that everybody's talking about. And for our district, it could be, as I mentioned, anywhere between $2 and $2.3 million. The principal funding formula, as the federal government stipulated, gives our district an amount based on our losses to the revenue limit. So we expect to get approximately $2 to $2.3 million. If you remember from the prior slide, we expect to lose about $2.1 to $2.2 million. So in that venue, the two numbers are fairly equal. What we are going to do now for the next series of reports is give you a budget report next month that will not include most of this funding because it's not finalized unless it's received. The goal of us is to bring you budgets based on numbers that are actual, and at this point, if we were bringing you the budget, those numbers would not be finalized and probably won't be for the next few weeks. And if you have any questions.
Mr. Spence?
Just a couple things. So since the thing's not finalized, we don't have the actual applications or the forms for some of this money yet. Is that right, to apply for the grants yet?
Well, actually, as I mentioned to you, the one grant that we are applying for is the nutritional equipment, and we requested approval from you today. We do have the forms for that.
Okay, we have forms for that one. Yeah, but the other ones we don't, like the state supplemental one at the end.
Actually, that's not a grant. It's
the last one? The last one.
It's not a grant. What it is an assurance, a series of assurances that the local agencies and the state do to receive the funding, but it's not on a grant basis. It's just part of the normal budget.
Well, it's the allocation of funds, but we're to submit a governor to submit application. Right. So the idea is the governor submits the application.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And then the money automatically comes to us?
Based on the revenue limit. So if you can think of it, it'll be included as part of our budgetary process because it's part of the revenue limit.
And then how do we decide how we want to spend it?
Well, as I mentioned to you right now, it's part of the general budget. You've already made some assurances, if you will, or I'm using probably the wrong word, but some direction on the past budgetary report that we did in March of program continuance. Now, there is one component, Mr. Spence, on this one, which is maintenance of effort. That's never been used outside of special education, but they are now using for that one that you mentioned a maintenance of effort component, which means that what you approved in March, which was the continuation of program with some of the reductions, that list that we gave you of about $1,018,000, that would be our maintenance of effort for reporting in the following years.
You mean the cuts that we approved would be the maintenance of effort?
Well, those are the things that were reduced. The maintenance of effort is anything outside of those cuts.
Outside of those cuts. So if we hadn't wanted to have discussion, when would it be appropriate to have discussion if we wanted to restore anything that was that resolution of layoffs that was approved then?
Well, I would think that any discussion on the use of any funding is when we give you the budgetary reports that actually have that allocation.
Okay. Yeah, because it's coming in stages apparently.
Correct.
From at least based on what you said, yeah.
Was that all you had?
Yeah, that's all I had.
I had one question. You were talking about the special ed funding, and my understanding, and you kept talking about using it for backfill, that funding could be used. And is backfill what I know as encroachment?
Correct. That's just that the feds are using that term specifically, and when we do reporting, they want us to actually code it with that terminology. We've always called it encroachment. That's the federal term that they're using,
backfill.
And then my understanding was that you could only use 50% of that money, that special ed money, for encroachment.
Well, it's actually 51%, but if you recall the amounts that we have for for example, for special ed, some of the encroachment comes from us, from our use, and some of it is actually self-formulas. We receive less because some of it is based on count. We receive less because we don't have a provider program. So we can look at it differently. And again, it's something that will occur when we receive the funding. But for our district, we look at the 51% as actually the encroachment that we have to the general fund. Some of the other amounts are amounts that are backfilled due to the formula, the way our formula computes the district differently. It's one way of looking at it. Another way would be to look at the 51% and then the remaining 49 as one-time money available for
additional service
or some
technology, whatever.
Program. Remember, there's the MOE. So maintenance of effort continues to be an issue. And in special ed, it's easy to explain maintenance of effort. It's a lot more difficult to do in general fund. It's the first time we have to do this. Mm.
Right. Well, no, I'm fully aware of maintenance of effort for special ed. It will be, what's the baseline?
We had a SELPA meeting last week, and one of the challenges as they look at distributing the money is what do we do with one-time funding when the federal formula for maintenance of effort remains. So let me give you an example. For us, assume that the 51% came in, we use it, the other 49%, assume it's $400,000, and we decided to use for a particular program. In the following year, as we do our reporting for maintenance of effort, we do have an obligation to continue. And that's why one of the ideas that has been presented by itself is look at the different funding categories and don't generate a problem with future maintenance of effort. But it's something that will be discussed as the money comes in.
Well, and I thought there was a specific waiver for that one-time money that it wouldn't be formulated into the maintenance of effort.
Actually, there isn't. The waiver is if you do a program, that complements existing or something like that, but if you do something else, at least during the SELPA meeting, that was still an issue because there is
okay.
No.
That's going to be interesting then.
It's going to be very interesting.
Anything else? Well, we appreciate your
informing
us of where we are now. That brings us to the conclusion of our meeting. Dates to remember, or was there any further board comments?
I only had one thing, and that was on the small school, because we did have a presentation, at least about the Performing Arts High School, and that was, and I don't know where the board is on it. I know I've talked to staff, but of somehow letting the public know that we would be interested in what other options people may have out there as well, as just rather than just one, that there may be other things out there that we don't know about that people might want to bring forward, and I don't know how to go about doing that, or even if the board wants to do that.
Yeah. If the board wants to do that, we are interested, as you know, in reducing the number of students at the high school. We believe that the high school will be done with its modernization project, which allowed us to lease and rent some portables, classrooms at that school. We'll probably be in a position where those will leave at the end of the modernization, and the campus would really not be fit for the number of students that we have there in the long run. Now, having said that, we've been looking at anyone interested. We're talking to our principals. We are talking to our parent groups about making sure that anyone with ideas about schools that we could provide for high school age students in particular, that the board may want to entertain those for the year 2010-11. So we're looking at coming up with a variety of programs that people could speak to or initiate, and we appreciate those that brought forward the performing arts. We're going to take all of the ideas, bring them to the board with our recommendations. So we'll continue to advertise that the board is interested in having the public discussion and interested in any proposals that either teachers, community members, or parents would like to bring forward.
The upcoming dates are on the board agenda. If you hadn't had a chance to look at that, you can pick one up there on the back table. And I'd be remiss in not thanking Jan Pickett and Mary Kaufman. I know her name.
Move your text.
Yeah. I wrote him down since my husband's
Ruben,
name tonight.
Don't point yours that way, Ruben.
They came at a time of transition. and they had a wealth of information to share as administrators that was directly passed on for our students' benefit, and that we just appreciate you coming in and sharing all of that with our students. You're leaving our district a better place. So thank you so much, and enjoy your almost retirement. Was there anything else anybody would like to? We are adjourned.